Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Christopher Jones Cruz, Alice Bryant, Phil Dierking, Anne Ball, and John Russell. Jill Robbins will tell us what's trending today, and Katie Weaver will have this week's Personal Technology Report. But first, here is Christopher Jones Cruz.
The Internet became less free around the world between June 2015 and May of this year. That is a finding from a new report called Freedom on the Net 2016. It comes from Freedom House, a pro-democracy research group based in Washington, D.C. Freedom House says its measure of Internet freedom fell for the sixth time over the past 6 years. The group reports that government surveillance of social media and messaging tools rose during the 12 months ending in June 2016. It says that in the past 2 years, governments have gone from secretly plotting to control the Internet to openly doing so, even arresting and beating some users. The group notes that some governments are taking steps to ban encryption technology and punish users for sharing information officials believe should be banned. The report says Internet users in Estonia, Iceland, and Canada have the most freedom and protection of privacy. It says the most abuses of Internet freedom took place in China, Syria, Iran, Ethiopia, Uzbekistan, and Cuba. It estimates that more than two-thirds of all Internet users live in countries that work to restrict online activity. About 40% of the world's Internet users live in just three countries: China, India, and the United States. Adrian Shabazz is the research manager for the report.
What the likes of China and Iran have in common is an attempt to gain control over the online sphere within their own countries. And I think we see Russia going towards that direction, which is very troubling.
Recently, Russia announced its first maximum prison sentence under the country's anti-extremism laws for a nonviolent political speech. Shabazz says Russia now has many laws that limit privacy and free speech.
There was the passage of the data localization law in previous years, which was implemented in 2015. And that has a very negative effect both on businesses that have their operations in Russia, but also on user privacy in Russia, because all of users' data must be now stored within Russia.
The new report found that Internet freedom in Ukraine is no better than in Russia.
In Ukraine, for example, we saw some of the first arrests and even prison sentences for users that are advocating for political causes in a very nonviolent way, and yet were sentenced based on extremism law.
The group says China is at the bottom of the Internet freedom list because it has made spreading rumors or endangering national security online as crimes. Freedom House notes that China has worked hard to stop the use of virtual private networks, or VPNs, which people use to reach websites blocked by the government. The report says the highest rated countries have a free and open internet, very high levels of availability of the internet, and strong protections for free speech and privacy. Freedom House put the United States in fourth place in terms of protecting privacy. The group said internet freedom has improved in only 14 countries since June of last year. It noted a worsening of conditions in more than half of the 65 countries studied. The biggest declines were in Uganda, Bangladesh, and Cambodia. Almost 90% of all internet users live in the 65 countries named in the report. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Students have been protesting at universities across South Africa for several months. At some universities, protesters have clashed with police or security officers. The website Quartz Africa reports that more than 500 college students have been arrested since February. A number of schools have temporarily closed or suspended classes. The protesters have what sounds like a simple, straightforward demand: free and quality education for all. Some are also demanding what they call decolonized education, changes to the study program to make the classes less European-centered. The student movement is being called Fees Must Fall. Free education is an idea that many people around the world can respect, and that few people in South Africa seriously disagree with. Yet, the protests are showing no sign of stopping since they began a year ago. In recent weeks, protests have spread to most of South Africa's 26 universities, with clashes between students and police at some of them. In September, the government announced that universities may raise fees by as much as 8%. The announcement fueled the most recent wave of protests. The protests first began last year when the government announced it would increase school fees by 10 to 12%. But the government canceled its decision as a result of the protests. A presidential spokesman believes there is no reason for students to be concerned about the rising costs. He says the government has promised to pay for the increase for poor students. That is about 75% of the student population.
20 years have passed since the end of apartheid, South Africa's former system of racial separation. Many studies, including a World Bank study in 2014, found that South Africa is one of the most unequal societies in the world. The World Bank study points to education as a means to reduce the differences between rich and poor. Students are angry that the ruling African National Congress has failed to act on a promise of free education it made in 1994. Fasiha Hassan is a protest leader at University of the Witwatersrand, also known as WITS, in Johannesburg. An American reporter from National Public Radio, or NPR, recently asked whether the closings at universities were helping the protesters. Nobody's getting an education. How is that in anybody's interest? The reporter asked. Hassan described the reasons that a free university education is so urgent to South African students. She said that many blacks are receiving a poor quality education compared to whites. Because of this, she said, they have trouble gaining acceptance into universities. Hassan told NPR that even when a high school student is accepted into a university, the school is unlikely to pay for housing costs. These struggling students may sleep in libraries and computer centers, Hassan said. Some months, they don't have money for food. At her university, students launched a program to feed hungry students. Many students say that the rise in school fees would make it impossible to return to classes next year. President Zuma has formed a ministerial team to help bring an end to the clashes. I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm Phil Dierking.
On Election Day in the United States, Arkansas voted to permit the medical use of marijuana. 27 other states legalized medical marijuana earlier. 8 states now permit its use for non-medical reasons as well. State officials now will propose measures to govern the growth and sale of marijuana. However, production, sale, and use of the drug remains a federal crime. Jake Bleed is an official at the Arkansas Department of Finance and Administration. He says many people are asking questions connected to the decision on marijuana.
Do people get preference? How do employers deal with these questions? How do state employees apply? There's a lot of questions out there that we're getting that we're going to have to work through the answers to.
Some people use marijuana to fight pain or discomfort caused by disease. The drug also helps some people deal with the sickness caused by some treatments of disease. It can also be used to ease some effects of brain disorders. Asa Hutchinson is the governor of Arkansas. He says that federal laws are more powerful than state laws. He says the Obama administration did not order action against states that made marijuana use legal. He said the states did not have to fear federal enforcement powers, although the new laws violate federal measures. But he wonders about the president-elect.
Will the Trump administration have a different approach? We don't have the new attorney general yet. What will be their approach?
The economies of some states have improved where medical and recreational use of marijuana is permitted. Governments have collected hundreds of millions of dollars in new taxes. That and public demands means more states will likely consider legalizing marijuana use. I'm Ann Ball.
The government of Vietnam is seeking to help the main rice-producing part of the country deal with difficult agricultural issues. The area is known as the Mekong Delta. It is home to 18 million of Vietnam's 94 million people. More than half of the country's rice is grown in the area, which feeds more than 145 million people in Asia. The Mekong begins in Tibet. It passes through six countries: China, Myanmar, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Some of these countries are building dams that are affecting the river. Worries about the future of the Mekong Delta increased after an extreme lack of water this year caused the area to become saltier than normal. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, said rice production fell by 1.1 million tons. Philip Hirsch is a professor at Sydney University. He says climate change is causing sea levels to rise and bringing more storms to the area. One of the big concerns is the amount of salt water and the distance the salt water moves up various Mekong tributaries into the delta, which again threatens the viability of rice farming, he said. International scientists are working with scientists in Vietnam to find solutions to the problems. Their project is called CLUES, which stands for Climate Change Affecting Land Use in the Mekong Delta. Ndi Phong is one of the leaders of the project. He said among the issues the Mekong Delta faces are rising levels of salt and fresh water, higher temperatures, rising greenhouse gases, and a large population. The delta also faces the possibility of lower rainfall, reduced numbers of farm laborers, and reduced valuable land. CLUES scientists are developing kinds of rice that can grow in areas of rising salinity when water levels are too high and in dry conditions. Australia's Centre for International Agricultural Research, or ACIAR, is also helping Vietnam improve rice production. ACIAR scientists say Vietnamese rice farmers have adapted to changing conditions over the past 30 years. They are still worried about the future, however. Leocadio Sebastian is based in Vietnam as a regional program leader for Southeast Asia for the International Rice Research Institute, or IRRI. He says Vietnam is going to try to increase farm incomes and rice quality. He says IRRI and the Vietnamese government are going to try to get farmers to grow two crops a year instead of three. They also want them to grow higher value grain. Sebastian told VOA they have to position the Vietnam rice to a higher quality and higher priced level so that the farmers now and in the future can have a better income from rice production. Scientists say the area also faces a threat from the increasing numbers of hydroelectric dams being built on the Mekong River in China, Laos, and Cambodia. Chris Barlow is an ACIAR fisheries expert. He says the dams will have a severe effect on the lower Mekong area. In a report about the conflicts between hydropower and fisheries, he wrote that China has completed 3 large dams on the Mekong, and 5 more are being built or being planned. These dams have major impacts on hydrology and completely block fish migration in the upper Mekong. He said plans for 9 high-level dams in Laos and 2 being built in Cambodia will have severe impacts on fisheries and food security. Scientists say the dams will change the flow of rivers and tributaries and lower water temperatures, among other effects. Barlow says hydropower may produce economic gains, but the fishery and other ecosystem services provided by the river will be permanently degraded. Lei Ang Tuan is the deputy head of the Institute of Climate Change Research at Con Tu University. Lei told Vietnamese media that damming threatens the future of the Mekong Delta. Sydney University's Hirsch says Vietnam's government needs to be more assertive with members of the Intergovernmental Mekong River Commission. He says the group should try and put a brake on the very rapid pattern of hydrological development in the upstream countries. Hirsch fears the area's most productive years may have been before damming on the river began. He says in the early 1990s, Vietnam, once a large importer of rice, became the world's second largest exporter. Hirsch says efforts by China, and more recently Laos, to put dams on the river may have started a drop in food production in the Mekong Delta area. I'm John Russell.
This is what's trending today. A mannequin is a plastic model used in clothing stores. A store owner puts clothing on the mannequin to show shoppers how the clothing looks on the human body. Unlike a human being that moves, the mannequins stay in one place. Starting in late October, videos with the hashtag #ManikinChallenge started coming out on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. The videos show people freezing in place while the camera moves around them. At first, high school students and college sports teams were doing the mannequin challenge. One story about the development of the video trend says a Twitter user posted the first mannequin challenge video on October 26th. Then it started to catch on. Hillary Clinton did a video on her airplane on November 8th. Just 2 days later, the NBA champion basketball team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, visited President Barack Obama at the White House. While the players were there, they made a mannequin challenge video with Michelle Obama. And that's what's trending today. I'm Jill Robbins.
The cost of airplane flights is often the biggest expense of travel. Airfares can be expensive, and budgeting for them can be difficult. Prices change often, so it is not easy to know which flight is best. And there can be extra charges for baggage. The process is even more complex for family travel. Now, the online search service, Google Flights, has a new tool to help you find the best airfares and plan your next trip. The service can let you know when the price for a flight is going to end. It can alert you when prices are expected to rise. Google Flights now compares airfares to historical price data for similar flights. To use this new tool, go to the Google Flights website. You can search for flights by date, airport, number of stops, flight class, and number of passengers. Google Flights will highlight in green the flights it thinks are the best choices based on price, flight times, and number of stops. After you choose a flight, you may also see a note about when the price is set to end. Google Flights may also suggest you book as soon as possible if prices are expected to rise soon. This tool only works when a flight's historical data is available. The information may be able to show you how much time you have to book a flight before the price changes. Search results include a track prices option. You can turn the option on to receive emails about price changes and travel tips. Google Flights lets you choose track prices even if you have not yet purchased your tickets nor chosen a flight. You can manage your tracked flights and change the search fields, such as number of passengers, airports, dates, and more. Google Flights will email you if there is a considerable change in airfares for your saved flights. Google Flights also has other tools to help you compare airfares. It provides a calendar with flight prices listed every day. You can see flight prices listed by date, so you can choose an economical time to fly. You can also see airfares on a bar graph to compare prices easily. Google Flights also shows airfares on a map to help you decide where to go. You may see a tip at the top of the results advising that you could save money by flying on a different date or from a different airport. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.